Miss Noel, real thaw.
Presumably, before the war, they must have had a quite active social life.
Oh, yes.
With lots of visitors and weekends, yes, and so on. Did this continue during the war?
Not to any degree. They had one very exciting time when her daughter, Lady Victoria, was married. I was there at the time. Of course, they had lots of visitors then. But not during the war. All flower beds full of potatoes and all that sort of thing. But I was fortunate, I was always glad that I was posted there, because I did see Welbeck as very nearly as it used to be in peacetime, which it has never been since. Because now it is a college, I don't know whether you know, it's a training college for the army. And I have been back. When Her Grace was still alive, I went back several times to have tea with her. And she was living in just a corner of the abbey after the Duke died. Only a corner. And of course, it has never seen the days that I saw it since.
Did they have the gardeners and domestic servants that they would have had before the war? Were they able to keep them?
They had a certain amount, but nothing like the number, I expect.
Did any of the men, the convalescent patients, perhaps help around the grounds then?
No. Oh, we didn't do anything. They didn't do anything.
What was there for the men to do, the men who were well enough to be up and about a bit?
I think they did a bit of fishing in the lake. And they used to go out in this motor thing. I don't know really what they did do. They used to moon round, I'm afraid. Read books. One or two were rather clever little artists, and they used to go out sketching. I suppose they played cards. Oh yes, they did. Draughts and all that sort of thing, games.
Were they able to have visitors?
Visitors used to come. Just in visiting hours, as it were. I think perhaps some of them stayed in the district, came to see them.
Did local people ever come in to entertain them or perhaps help them with crafts or something?
No, I don't remember that. No, they amused themselves, I don't really know how. Of course, they used to spend most of the morning waiting for their turn in the surgery, all queued up outside. And that was the afternoon.
As a VAD, you must have been too busy to spend much time with them.
Yes, I didn't spend much time with them, no. No, we didn't. Except, as I say, over this dancing business. We used to go down into the ballroom. And those that could hobble used to come down. They used to enjoy a bit of dance music that was played, and Baron Brooke with his fiddle used to help on considerably.
Did you play the piano for them?
No, we had a man called Candlin. It was quite a good pianist, and he and Brooke used to cope with the music. No, I used to cope with the bumble feet, trying to get them round.
What did you do for holidays, such as Christmas? You would have been there one
Yes,
Christmas,
I was for Christmas. Well, we just had rather special food. I don't think we did do anything much other than the ordinary day.
No decorations or presents?
No, I don't think so. No. I suppose we put up a bit of holly, but I don't think there was anything special. It was just more or less an ordinary day.
You said a lot of the men had amputations. Did you have a lot of problem with secondary hemorrhage?
No, I don't think so. No.
So then, presumably, the men had been kept at their first hospital long enough.
I suppose so,
and
yes.
And were really more convalescent.
Yes. But they were still wounds that had to be dressed where the amputation had been, you see. Quite messy.
What sort of amputation was the most awkward?
Do you mean by the legs or arms? Well, I think the legs were more upsetting for them because it was so difficult getting about. They used to be in these chairs that they propelled, you see, or they were on crutches, later on sticks. One was a bit apt to fall over them, going around doing temperatures. They used to sit at night after their tea, between their tea and supper, and Sister and myself used to go around with these thermometers. Well, they had rather tricks with the thermometers too, because they didn't want to be marked out of the hospital. They wanted to stay, a lot of them, rather than go back to their units, you see. And you used to have to watch them. They used to be up to all sorts of dodges to get their temperatures up, at least get the thermometer up.
What sort of things could they do?
I think if you sucked them long enough, you could get them up. But they had one or two dodges, and Sister used to look very suspiciously at them and say, I don't think this is quite correct. And you'd find, possibly, or they'd perhaps had a cigarette or something near them. I don't know all their tricks, but they certainly did used to get them up. They had all sorts of tricks. And then if they got leave for a weekend, they invariably came back with their wounds much worse because they used to have a good many drinks. Apparently alcohol used to help to make them bad again. Oh yes, they used to endeavour not to get marked out.
Did you have to keep an eye on them? If they could go off to Mansfield in the bath chair, how could you prevent them from going into pubs?
Ah, well, it was the publican that got fined if he served them. Because they were in blue, you see. They were in their blue uniform with red ties. And their white fronts. They did away with those white things after, towards the end of the war, and they all went into full blue. As a publican wasn't allowed to serve them. If he did, he got had up for it. I think some of them did, all the same. Quebec, it was fairly isolated. They had a good way to go to other people. But I don't remember having any difficulty really with drink with them.
Did any of the men aggravate their wounds so as not to leave the hospital?
Well, I think occasionally that happened. But yes, they had to be watched from time to time, little tricks they got up to.
What did they call you?
Nurse. Yes, a nurse.
Did they treat the VADs the same way they treated the sisters?
Oh, yes, they were always very respectful. But I think, you see, it belongs to an age when people were much more respectful. What it would be like now, I wouldn't know. But they were very decent, lot of men. Any that I ever had anything to do with. They were always very nice.
And how did they treat each other?
They seemed to get on quite well. The sergeants had more to do with that. If there were any eruptions, the sergeants used to deal with them. I don't think they had much trouble. But they were always quite helpful. One or two of them were very helpful to the VADs. I think it was once a fortnight we had what we'd call a late morning. We didn't have to appear before breakfast. Great treat. And I remember once or twice a man would get up and do that person's work of laying the table, something that we did before breakfast. I didn't do it because I was doing these surgical things, but the other VADs had the tables to lay, and they'd turn up and do it for them, and that kind of thing. And they're very kind at looking after your bicycle, because our only transport was cycling. And they'd see that it was pumped up, you know, time off and that sort of thing. They're very helpful. They can. And then I thought I would take up shorthand at one time, because my brother at that time, when the war was over and he'd come back, he stood as an MP for Manchester. And I thought I'd perhaps learn shorthand. I might be a help to him. So I used to pedal off to work some of my hours off to shorthand school. I got so far with it that I was a complete donkey. One of the men, of course, was very good at shorthand, and he was very kind, hoping to try to knock some sense into me. That would be helpful. I didn't get very far with it, I'm afraid.
Were they fond of playing practical jokes on each other and on the nurses?
No, no, I will say nothing. No, they were quite tame.
What about their language?
Well, I suppose they used their swear words, but I don't think they were extra shocked. No. It was a different world. There's nothing like the bad language there is now.
Did you ever have any trouble with discipline in the First War in the hospital?
No. As I say, if there were any troubles, well, the sergeants came in. Because they always saw, I suppose, from the parent hospital that some of the patients were sergeants. And they used their authority with them. We weren't expected to to solve their problems.
About how long did the men stay at Welbeck?
Well, some of them were very long term. They were there for a very long time. And some of them weren't. Some of the medical ones would be in and out fairly soon.
As one man left, would another man come, or did you get new ones in batches?
Occasionally we would get a few strays, but generally perhaps five or six would go out at the same time, and you'd get the new ones in the same day. The old gas bag would go off to Bagthorpe and take one lot and bring another lot back. And I always remember the violinist that nobody wanted to lose, and we used to sort of almost shield him from being turned out. At last he did get marked out, and everybody wept. And I always remember that somehow or another he worked it at Bagthorpe to come back, and I can see him now standing up in the gas bag, holding his violin up, he'd come back, and cheers, for another session. They worked it occasionally.
What happened to the men when they left Welbeck? Were they considered to be well enough to go back to the
army? Usually to be marked out. Either discharged from the army or put back in the regiments, which of course they loathed. That's why they used to try to stay in, those that were going to be put back in the army.
Did any of the men actually get worse rather than better when they were in Welbeck?
I don't think they got worse, but there were some at the end when the hospital closed that had to stay in hospital. They were returned to hospital. I don't know what happened to them. One would like to know what did happen to them all.
Did you ever keep in touch with any of them?
No. No, I never heard from any of them. The only one was Brooke that I wrote to in Bournemouth.
Did he answer?
Yes. He was living down there. He was sub-leader of the symphony orchestra. Had his home there, his family. It's hard to believe that all those people are now old men. Like myself, an old woman.
Were there any cases of injuries from dum-dum bullets?
No. No, not so at all. But were they in the First War?
You had shell shock patients?
Yes, quite a few of those.
What were they like?
Well, they'd suddenly get into very shaky condition, a bit wild. They used to get over it, calm themselves eventually. But you wouldn't quite know what to expect next from some of them.
Did you have any particular treatment for them?
No, I don't think so. There used to be what was called a restroom, but I don't think many of the patients went into it. I think they used to rather dwell in there, away from the hubbub. We had quite a bit of physiotherapy going on. very nice person who was an Australian. And she didn't live in our part of the hospital, she lived in the Abbey and used to come across.
Did you ever have to do night duty at World Bank?
No, because we were so near to the patients, there was only a door between our quarters and theirs. And any that were taken really poorly in the night, they used to come and rap on this door, you see. And the matron would get up, or sister would get up, and if she wanted us, well, we were dragged out then. But we weren't on duty as such, walking the wards.